Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us for the next half hour. On this Tuesday afternoon, we're going to talk about a story that if you stop and think about what God had to do to make this happen, it blows your mind. I mean, we hear about walking on the water and feeding 5,000 and other miracles in the Old Testament, parting of the Red Sea and all of that. And they all, at least in terms of kind of their scientific scope, kind of look like parlor tricks compared to this one. Stopping the sun and the moon's course in the sky. That's amazing. We'll talk about that event in the history of God's Old Testament people. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Their Sunday School curriculum is called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Hi, Pastor. It's great to be back. We're having a stormy afternoon, and this story is quite appropriate with the hail and the battle and the things going on here.
I want to hear the whole story because it's really amazing from you in just a moment. But you're going to present this story, and maybe kids will accept this easier because they don't have kind of the fundamental scientific knowledge. Many of them don't that older kids or we do. Realizing that God had to apparently stop the Earth's rotation.
Yes.
For a time here during this famous battle. How do we present it to kids like this?
Well, we simply present it straight up and as the truth. The facts are here. It's been recorded in God's Word. We believe God's Word is truth, and we're going to teach it that way. And then we're going to also, like you recalled, many other times, and that's what all our stories this summer are about, how God uses the things of his creation, nature, the wind, the waves, the rotation of the earth, to bring about his purposes, to bring about salvation. And all of those things are incredible, but none of them hold a candle to the fact that God sent his Son, who became a man, lived among us, suffered, died, and completely died, body and soul, rose again to new life. That's really the sticker. You know, if you're having trouble believing this, then you're going to have trouble believing the resurrection. But if you believe the resurrection, this stuff's a piece of cake, really, when you think about it. So, and I'm with you. I think kids are, they're open to what God is doing. They don't have all of the the things rolling around in their heads that culture and education have done to dim their faith. They're eager to believe. They're eager to hear of the mighty works of God.
So we will stipulate at the outset that this happened. This was not these men here during this battle, thinking that the sun stops its course in the sky. This is an actual occurrence, and that somehow in his creative power, he is able to stop our globe from spinning on a dime and start it up again as he wills in order to save his people. Tell us the story.
That's right. That's what we're gonna understand. And the story is this. It's an interesting one. For the older kids and for adults who might be looking at this, you really want to look in chapter 9 to understand the fact that the Gibeonites, they kind of tricked Joshua and the Israelites into an agreement, into a covenant of peace. They pretended that they were people from far off, and they really weren't. They were people among them in this land, and they had heard of the power that the God of these Israelites had had, and of the victories they'd had prior to that, and they were afraid, and they thought the best thing they could do would be to join with these Israelites and not try to fight them. And so they tricked them into this. So it's not even a good covenant. The Israelites weren't wise. They did not consult with God about it. They said, yes, we'll enter into this with you. So the whole joining here of them together wasn't even done in a God-pleasing way. And that's significant to talk about, especially to older children who can grasp that. But so you have them, and then you have other kings, five other kings, who are aware of the power of this God and who are afraid and who join together, who think, we've got to take care of these Israelites because they're going to be too powerful. It's going to be a problem. And they think that they will attack a weaker spot, a weaker city. And so they are plotting and planning to bring down the Israelites. And they decide to choose Gibeon, the city of Gibeon. And God then works by gathering his forces. He gets them to march all night to catch up to the Amorites, and that is all these five kings and their people joined together. And they surprise them. But before you get this sun standing still, you have also God using hailstones. And in just these 15 verses in chapter 10, so much is going on. But I'll point you to verse 8, where the Lord says to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you." And so then it says, Joshua came up upon them suddenly, having marched up all night from Gilgal, and the Lord threw them into a panic before Israel. Now, doesn't that harken back to the crossing of the Red Sea when the Egyptians were thrown into a panic? Chaos ensues. And then it says, who struck them with a great blow at Gibeon and chased them. And then it says, as they fled, the Lord threw down large stones from heaven on them, and they died. And then it says that these were hailstones. And it speaks about that God was warring for Israel. And then after that, that hailstone incident, then Joshua speaks to the Lord, and he says, in front of all the Israelites, "Sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." And then it says here that the sun did stand still. And this was Joshua's prayer, his proclamation, really a great pronouncement of faith that God would see them through this, would make good on his promise. And they needed that extra daylight to carry out the battle, to see it to the end, to be victorious. They couldn't fight at night. There were no lights. They didn't have what modern warriors have today. And so God answered that. And it says, "There has been no day like it before or since, when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." Beautiful story. 15 action-packed verses here in the Old Testament.
Now, this is emblematic of, to kind of speak to the broader issue of how God has his people, especially under Joshua's leadership and command, how God has his people fight. And later there'll be other stories. There are so many war stories in this part of the Old Testament, it's hard to keep track of all of them. But God consistently is trying to show his people that he is the one who's doing the fighting. Talk about that.
That's right. It's an interesting thing, because if you look at the text here, God's stepping in a couple of places with the hailstones, and then when Joshua asks for this, it's at the the midst of the day, and they've had to wait a little bit for the answer to the prayer, and then God makes good on his promise and holds the day, and it stays daylight for about a day. The scripture says, doesn't give us specific hours, but all through the Old Testament, God with his people, we see this where he steps in mighty and powerful ways. At the crossing of the Red Sea, not only does God part the waters, he throws the Egyptians into chaos and confusion. God is going before his people and after them, and in ways that none of them could ever question, well, did God really do this or did we do this? They're just obviously God's hand involved in miraculous ways. And there's so many connections here with Joshua and how God uses him and how he is a forerunner, a foreshadowing of the greater Joshua, our Savior, Jesus, who battles for us, our sin, battles Satan for us, and steps in a way that we could not humanly do to win the battle with his own life, with his own suffering and death, and resurrection from the dead. And that's something we've got to talk about this week in Sunday School, too, is the connection between Joshua and Jesus, between these enemies and the enemies that we have in our lives, and how God steps in and takes care of that for us.
We're talking with Deaconess Pam Nielsen on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 15th, going through the Old Testament story of God controlling the sun and the moon, their course in the sky. Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House has a Sunday School curriculum called Growing in Christ. It forms the basis for our weekly conversations with Pam. You could find out more about this Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday School curriculum by going to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, or call and ask for a free sample of Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. More with Deaconess Pam Nielsen after this.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
It ain't going down till the sun comes up. I ain't giving in till they get it done. Going around the world in a pickup truck. I ain't going down till the sun comes up.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about God's control of sun and moon. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. Pam, let's talk a little bit about it is a problem. It occurred to me during the break that even as I said, there are many war stories in the Old Testament. This can be disturbing, especially to young children. And there's a lot of, I mean, the picture of giant rocks falling from the sky and killing people, that's a pretty gruesome image, especially for young children.
Yes, it is. But it's also an image of the power of our God and the lengths that he will go to make good on his promises, to show his love, and to do what he says he'll do. And I think we have to show this to children. These other people attacking them were complete enemies of the children of God. And God is doing what a good father should do for his children. Stopping at nothing to protect, defend, and keep his beloved children safe. And that's the message here. And if we can't talk about these things to children, we aren't able to help them understand how far, how deep, how wide, and all-encompassing God's love is, especially in the storms of life when we're under attack by sin, death, and the devil. So I think we have to talk about it, and we have to do that with some measured wisdom, knowing the children in our class, knowing their ages and their developmental levels. You don't emphasize with three-year-olds and all the people died and their hail killed them. You don't put on a dramatic reading. You say these things as God's word says them straight up, and then you really focus on how God protected his people. And boys and girls, you are God's people, and this is how he loves you. He died on the cross for you. He has won the victory over Satan. He's crushed the devil, and you will have the victory. You are safe in Christ from all your enemies. And that's where you have to go. You don't spend time emphasizing how gruesome this other is, but you can't not talk about it. You can't pretend it didn't happen, because they need to know how much their God loves them and how completely and utterly he goes to battle for them to the end, to the finish, for the victory for us.
Okay, a couple other things on this story. If you're here's perhaps for all ages, and then for the older ones. It seems pretty presumptuous of Joshua, even in dire straits, to ask God to stop the sun's course in the sky. I mean, he asked for a lot of things, but this seems it's pretty presumptuous.
Well, I suppose at first blush it does, but God had already told them in verse 8, "Do not fear, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you." So he's got this word of God, and he is holding on to it for life and death. And that's what God wants us to do. So when Joshua stands up and says, he looks at the situation, he believes God's going to give him the victory, and from what he can tell, we need more daylight for this to happen. He just blurts it out, and he says it. And he says it in faith, and he trusts God. And had God decided to do it another way, that would have been okay too. But God heard his prayer, answered it straight up, and gave them the victory. And it's really a lesson, I think, for us about the boldness of praying, asking God for what we need, and trusting him. At the end of the day, we ask him for all kinds of things from our vantage point, from what we think. and trust that He knows exactly what we need and will give it exactly when we need it for our good, ultimately for our eternal salvation. And God wants us to be that bold. This is a lesson for us in the boldness of coming before our God in faith and trusting that He has only our best in mind now and in eternity. And the other part of it is God used all of these things to bolster these Israelites. He used a lot of spectacular things, you know. And we might be quick to say in our day, "Well, I don't see these kind of cool things happening." You know, anytime there's something with nature, it seems to be big, bad, and awful, and people die, and I don't see how that helps anyone. But God does work still in miraculous ways for us, and He bolsters us through word and sacrament, and keeps us mindful of who He is for us, strengthens our faith, feeds it, and that is a really important piece of that, and to help children understand that it, as He assured Joshua with His very word, He assures us with this same word of who He is for us every moment of every day.
Someone says, look, I know a little something about science, I know a little something about how the solar system works, I know a little something about physics and angular momentum, and if He would have stopped the Earth's rotation, the seas would have jumped up out of their beds, and it would have been catastrophic all over the world, and it simply couldn't have happened that way. What's the best response that we could teach our children to give?
I think we simply have to say that we believe God's word. And you know, I was looking at the commentary from CPH, the Big Blue Joshua commentary, where the word there is, you know, they didn't know, did the sun revolve around the earth? Did the earth revolve around the sun? This is told from the vantage point of the people in that day who thought that the sun stood still. We would think now that really it was the earth that stood still. It doesn't matter. What matters is that this happened. The day lasted for a whole length of a day, as it says here. God worked this out for His people so they could be victorious. And this is the God who created this world. He can do whatever He wants with the sun, the moon, the stars, the wind, and the waves. And He uses His creation for the good of His people. And He's done it before. He can do it again. And what we need to know is that He is our God and He loves us.
You said before, Pam, with only about a minute here, that while other miracles pale by comparison to this one pales by comparison to the resurrection. What did you mean?
Well, when you look at the resurrection, and it is the thing that people struggle with, they can take so much of Christianity and buy it. Oh, good teachings, wise sayings, good way to live, on and on and on. But when you face someone with that God, the divine being, whatever you want to think of that, God the Father sent His Son, true God, to this earth to become true man, lives among us perfectly, never sinning, suffers for our sin, taking that all upon Himself, is condemned to death, put on a cross, dies, really dies, no doubt about it, and is raised to life, new body, physical resurrection, bodily resurrection, and then ascends into heaven. That is so much greater than waves parting, walking on water, sun standing still, you name it, because that event is what all of these others point to and help us to see the power of God, that ultimately He did all these things so we could understand that He can do this most amazing, ultimate thing for our good, for our salvation, with His Son. And that's the sticking point for so many people who can't buy Jesus as their Savior. They can see Him in many different ways, but they can't see Him as their Savior from sin. They can't believe that He died and rose again for us, They can't believe it happened. And that is what matters, and that ultimately is what we trust in for our salvation.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen, a senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis, their Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a wonderful week.
Next week, we're going to talk with Pam about God answering Gideon's prayer with dew. Another miracle, small-scale miracle next to this one. Folks, if you appreciate our weekly interviews on teaching a Sunday school lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. Any size gift is deeply appreciated. You can also donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and send your gift to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's the address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for thinking of us during the difficult summer months. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues, Etc. We're going to kick it off with Wendy Wright of Concerned Women for America. You may have seen the article in Newsweek titled, I Don't, The Case Against Marriage. We'll respond to the arguments made in that Newsweek article against marriage. Wendy Wright will be our guest. Then we continue our summer series on women in the Bible. We'll talk about Miriam. Miriam is sister to Aaron and Moses. Professor Tom Egger will be our guest. Hour two of Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 15th, after this.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.